There is an old belief that the universe is made of stories, not atoms. Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff is a show that's about the stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. In an era of going green, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How do stories influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? Dr. Jeff offers stories of wisdom, healing, and transformation, and engages others to tell stories of what it means to be human and weavers of the fabric of the world, Gaia. Expect the provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic with Dr. Jeff. Get ready to expand the imagination, heal the heart, and inspire personal, social, and planetary evolution. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Joined by Deborah Milton, Dr. Deborah Milton. She's a storyteller, an eco-psychologist, and an artist. And she's here to discuss the ideas behind ritual and the remaking of a mythic and epic reinvention story, and most importantly, hers. So welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Jeff, so much. I'm already smiling from the bottom of my toes hearing your introduction, not just of me, but of Dialogue Radio. Very exciting to hear. So well, thank you for doing this.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And I am in the efforts of complete full disclosure, I must tell our listening audience that Deborah and I do know each other. And one of the reasons why it's important to have Deborah on is because not only is she brilliant, and I want to share her brilliance with all of you, but no story is just a single story. And I have a story, and my story is connected to many others. And as a big part of that, Deborah is a big part of my greater conversation in the world about what does dialogue mean? What does it mean to be in a ritual and conversational practice of re-inhabiting the earth? And so I wanted to share her brilliance with all of you and her amazing epic reinvention story that starts on the East Coast, ends on the West Coast, and is fueled by a compass, by an ancient practice known as ecstatic wisdom postures, which I know is a big mouthful. And so I'm hoping, Deborah, you can tell us all about that and why you call yourself an urban wild woman. How does that fit into your epic reinvention story?
Wow, talk about a big mouthful. I call myself an urban wild woman because I grew up on the East Coast, immersed in the intellectual world of my parents and my schooling and the culture there. And at the very tender age of three, the first story that relates to this, at the tender age of less than three, probably, I remember burying my imagination to protect it from my mother, who was burdened by her era, meaning it was prior to women's lib, and she was an insecure woman anyway, so she buried her poet self and her artist self long before I came into her life. And there was this amazing day when I was this toddler person having a tea party with my teddy bear and a soft rabbit and my imaginary friend whose name was Alice. And my mother swooped into the room intending to be helpful. I know that now. But as a little tiny kid, I didn't know that. And she was trying to participate in the tea party and went to sit down on Alice's, my imaginary friend, Alice's chair. And I screamed, "Don't sit on Alice." And I remember at that tender age realizing I had just blown my own world of imagination because my mother, you know, would make fun of Alice and or would want to participate in my world. And I knew she was dangerous. She couldn't participate in my world. So it was a horrifying experience. And that's part of my urban story. For the first 20 years of my life, I did my very best to fit in, to be the best, especially in academics, not to try things if I didn't think I was going to succeed at them instantly. I gave myself no learning curve. Have you ever experienced that?
Absolutely.
It's a handicap when you expect yourself to be good at something immediately. So part of my urbanization, I call it, I guess, was diminishing my capacity as a spontaneous, fully alive person in order to look good.
Huh. You know, I always, in connection to this kind of this urban theme that you were talking about, I often see a very similar theme play out in the corporate world and just in a community where I see many people who are afraid to be seen, caught, learning. Meaning we have such an expert society where everyone needs to kind of show up and be instantly good and excel and jump about the way you're talking about. You know, what does it mean when you have to imagine a new space to go into? You have to start with a blank canvas. I mean, that's a big part of life. And yet when we live in a society that expects perfection, it definitely gets in the way of an imagination or even a mythic imagination.
Yes, absolutely.
So what happened after Alice literally went down the rabbit hole in this case?
Well, various other things happened in my life when I was young that showed me I was a different person and thought differently from my peers. I'm sure there are lots of lonely souls listening to us today who were somehow born knowing stuff that they knew they weren't supposed to know when they were young. A mini story from my life was remembering when I was 5 and learning how to jump rope, and I finally got it to swing around my head 5 times before I tripped. And I remember counting on my 5 fingers of one hand, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then realizing in between each finger was this great canyon between the 2 fingers, the sides of the 2 fingers, and that in that canyon was eons of experience, and that I might only be 5 years old, but I had all this experience stored up in me, and I knew my parents didn't know that I knew that. I didn't think they knew that about themselves. And so it set me apart from even relying on parents. And I think that's one reason I started relying on my backyard and my dog to be my companions. Because we all need companions. We all need community. We all need other hearts and heads. But we deny ourselves that a lot in our culture.
So what brought you forward to, you know, what caused this epic reinvention? How did you kind of start making this happen?
I started making it happen. One of my memories of when I started to make it happen was when I was 18 and a senior in high school. And along about January or February of my last year in school, I knew I was going to be the valedictorian of my high school class. So I started trying to fail. Because I was such a goody-two-shoes, nervous, insecure, prudish young woman that I was scared to death to think of speaking in front of an audience of people. So I tried desperately to flunk classes so that I would no longer be top dog after having worked my whole, 18 years of schooling to be top dog. I didn't want it in the end. But my teachers, I think, knew what I was up to, and so they kept giving me A's. So I became valedictorian, and I had to go through it. And what the big learning for me was, I stood in front of the crowd in my black gown. I managed to do my part, and I realized no one in the audience knew that my knees were shaking so hard underneath that gown that I was not the confident talking head that I appeared to be. And somehow that experience taught me that that the greater world can't see inside me, and they don't know whether I'm scared or not. And that despite my fear, I could meet the challenge. So it was hugely empowering. So that was a real clunk of recognition, I call it, of, life isn't the way I thought it was.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, you know, you can't have courage without fear. You know, these relationships that exist to learn from, and that gap that you talked about is fascinating. You know, when we come back, we're going to take a break, but I'd love to hear about the next turn and how transformation found you and ecstatic wisdom postures found you.
All right.
Great. Well, we're going to take a break. You are listening to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff.
Being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guy Log Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guy Log Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Saskia Rowell came to America with 5 children and 1 suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to yoursoulguidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is yoursoulguidance.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
We're back on Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff. My guest today is storyteller, artist, eco-psychologist, and self-declared urban wild woman, Dr. Deborah Milton, who's talking with us about personal and epic reinvention stories. So before we continue, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you, Deborah. So what's the best way for people to learn about you and your work?
I would think going to my blog site, which is www.awakeningstorylines.com. That's awakeningstorylines.com. And from there, you can link into my brand new online community for ecstatic wisdom postures, which you will enjoy, I think, as well. But a lot of that information is on my blog, so I would start there.
Great, great. Okay, well, before we ended our break and took the break, we were talking about, you know, you brought some really provocative ideas. You know, one was, what does it mean to bury our imagination or a mythic imagination in kind of certain parts in our life to kind of exist in an overly rational world, or I always say the world where people live in the trance of rationality. And but you were calling yourself an urban wild woman, and I got that sense of urban that you know, the roots of your early life in urban areas. But what does it mean to be a wild woman? How, you know, tell me more about that. What does it mean to be wild?
Oh, good question, Jeff. When I use the word, I think I mean it more in the sense of being earthy or fully present in my body, and only realizing in later years or recent years that for me, being wild also means that my body, mind, my whole self, body, mind, spirit, feeling, all of it is part of the body, contributes to the body of the earth, and that I as a human have a responsibility to contribute back to this earth which sustains me and nourishes me.
You know, that we in past shows, but even in hearing you talk about this when, you know, when you say wild and kind of today's vernacular,
yes,
I think people, you know, there's kind of an internal cringe or flinch where people think it's either, you know, Deborah's off going on a wild, crazy kegger in Cabo.
Exactly, yes.
Or it's something really dangerous and you know, you're kind of, the wild is kind of thrown on the other side of the kind of the fence where we're really trying to keep wild out of our lives. And mm-hmm. hearing you talk about wild, it sounds like a kind of a rerooting into the earth, you know, for lack of better terms. There's a rewilding to how we actually wild in the sense of being connected to our biosphere and how we kind of live as a connector, as an extension of Gaia, not necessarily just it's a random object out there on the planet.
What you have just said, Jeff, segues beautifully into a story that I want to tell about the birth of my first child, which was a typical modern in quotes, hospital birth, fully spinal tapped and anesthetized so I couldn't feel a darn thing. Horrifying experience in the hospital. And I said to myself at the age of 23, when I had my first child, I will never do this like this again. There's something so wrong about birthing this way. So when I got pregnant a second time, even though there were no natural childbirth classes back in the early 1960s, I found a book. It may have been the very first book printed in America about an American woman who went to France to learn about giving birth naturally. It was called Thank You, Dr. Lamaze, and it's one of the Bibles in my life. Anyway, my point is, I did it myself. This is part of my independent streak, I think, and my self-starter streak. My husband wasn't very interested, and I didn't have any friends who wanted to talk about this kind of thing. So I did it myself with the help of a different medical doctor who said, if you promise not to scream, you can do all your laboring in a regular room in the hospital.
If you promise not to scream, I love that.
If I promise not to go wild and scream or have guttural groans or whatever else women are supposed to do, because I never did get to experience that. That's a whole nother story. But what happened to me with the birth of my second child, which was my first natural childbirth, was a vision that happened to me as she was slipping out of my body. And The vision was that I was intimately connected to all mammals on this planet who were giving birth at the same time. They could be four-legged mammals or finned mammals, as in whales. It didn't matter. And that my position as being on the point of the evolutionary arrow was going to slip away within a nanosecond because there was another mammal somewhere giving birth this way. And for me, that was such a profound experience of interconnectedness with life on Earth that I couldn't deny my essentially wild nature. My essential animal nature is another way of putting it, I think.
Well, you know, I've heard there's this greater conversation about in sustainability and how we kind of story ourselves. And so often it's about this, you know, a humanity on top, kind of anthropocentric or, you know, human-centric view. And that when we say, when we use words such as community, we are always, or community of people, you know, it's people's really implied. But there is this, you know, hearing your story really takes me back to this idea of when, if you think of making, you know, impacting the community, you know, it's really the web of life that's out there, the kind of the community, yes, of the community of kinship doesn't, it extends beyond just being human, that we're connected to all the animals and they're connected to us and they don't really see that separation. I mean, that's the really interesting part of it. You know, are we the only ones that experience a separation? I think so. I mean, I don't know. That's part of our greater conversation is in dialogue. So that, you know, when I hear you talk about that story, it really stands out as a marker in how you have used points in your life to create a ritual. It's your own ritual. It's your own connectedness to something where it's a source point for you, and you move your life forward.
Yes. Yes, and the ritual for me is a very basic one having to do with those words yes and no. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s somewhere that I discovered a book by a woman named Eileen Walkenstein called Don't Shrink to Fit. It was kind of a polemic against psychotherapy. And she has this amazing paragraph or two about yes and no, in which she says, whenever I my no do hide, my yes gets buried deep inside. And so I realized at that point that those, I had been afraid all my life to say no. I was always, you know, I was a yes person. I was a pleaser. I was a codependent person. I was a person who had to be needed. So I was saying yes all the time when some of the time I really wanted to say no. And so my yes really lost its meaning because it came with bitterness, martyrdom, a whole bunch of other yucky stuff that you don't want to hear about on the radio. But there is a mini ritual which all of us can incorporate. It's to stop saying, I don't know. It's to stop saying maybe or perhaps. It's to start looking inside and finding out, how do you know when your body wants yes? And how do you know when your body is telling you N-O, no, and honor both? Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, I just, I have heard of a number of people who've done similar things, and they brought along little power objects, like a rock or something that they have in their pocket or they have with them, almost like a talisman, so they tap it or they touch it or that kind of connects them into the body. So when you're saying yes, it's not an intellectual yes. It's a, what is my body saying?
Exactly.
Or a yes or a no, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yes and no. Well, speaking of shrink to fit, we're being shrunk to fit this segment, and we need to take a moment for a break. So,
all right.
Thank you for that. And just to remind everyone, my name is Dr. Jeff Lanaweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio. When we come back, storyteller, artist, and eco-psychologist Deborah Milton will be here to tell us more about her life and her stumbling upon an ancient practice called ecstatic wisdom postures.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Guylog Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guylog Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guylog Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Saskia Rowell came to America with five children and one suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to YourSoulGuidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is YourSoulGuidance.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, FogCityPsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
We're back on Guylog Radio with Dr. Jeff, and today my guest is storyteller, artist, eco-psychologist, and self-declared urban wild woman, Deborah Milton. And so, Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you.
So I have to ask you, it's not eco-psychologist, but eco-psychologist, as in E-C-H-O, as in echo, echo, echo. What do you mean by, urban wild woman is one thing, but eco-psychologist, what's that?
I love how you say that, Jeffrey. What is that thing? Well, echo. I want to share with your listeners that eco-psychology goes back for me before eco-psychology was a known name. And I just want to tell this brief story of me when I was a young psychotherapist and I was co-facilitating therapy groups. And there was this one evening when I was still trapped by my need to be good at things. And I was zinging kind of one-liner insights around the group. And suddenly a woman blurts out, "Who do you think you are?" And the way she said it, the precise timing of how she said that to me, ripped off my facial mask that I didn't even know I was still wearing. I had no idea that there was such a thing as a mask of my face. And she stripped me. The mask just crumbled in front of me. Now, I'm talking about a symbolic mask. I did not know that I was a fake self until that moment. And that moment really changed how I did my therapy work with clients. And so the echo began coming way back in the early 80s when I realized that if I worked with clients in a natural setting, for instance, next to a river or sitting in a meadow, anywhere where nature was active and it was decent enough weather that we could be outside, that there was some kind of an echo deep in them of their essence that helped them take charge of the changes they wanted to make in their lives. So echo psychology started in the way that I worked with people. I didn't have that name for it then, of course. But then, life conspired to take me in all different sorts of directions and initiations, getting divorced, having my last child leave home, moving, deciding not to be a therapist anymore. All of those things happened to me within a very brief period of time. And 10 years after that mask fell off, I decided to spend 2 months in solitude. And it was that totally changed my life into being more aligned with the wild woman part of me than the urban woman part of me. And that's also where echo psychology took root in a bigger way.
When you say how you just described the echo, the ECHO of when you'd spend time with people in nature and the echo would show up, it really reminds me of what you were talking about before in terms of the wild part of yourself. There's that there is an awakening that shows up when you're in nature. So the echo, in many cases, is it's tantamount, it's equal to wild. But in the 2 months, it sounds like you really took that in the silence that you were able to really hear something that was much louder going on, and that was the living world around you.
Exactly. Remember, in 1992, when I experienced 2 months in solitude on an island in British Columbia, that was before all of the cell phone, internet connections, online social networking. It was before everything that we consider standard today. Even then, when I spent 2 months in solitude without, much social interaction with anybody, I was flabbergasted at how my dreams, for instance, my nighttime dreams, I would routinely remember 5 of them a night. That never happened to me when I was in normal society in my regular home. I also began experiencing, thoughts that would manifest, like I would think of a deer and boom, a deer would walk past the window of the cottage where I was staying. So that my sensibilities really sharpened. And after 2 months, I thought that would continue when I went back home, but it didn't. Didn't. And so I multiply that by the 20 intervening years and think about how busy we all are, not only in our heads, but with each other online, always connected with the chit-chat of life. And it concerns me because I do think we're losing a human capacity, a refinement that we are going to miss sorely as the decades unfold, if we don't find ways to be in better balance with our wild and urban selves. We need both.
Hmm. I'm thinking back to your initial conversation about Alice when you were a child. And and I wrote down the note, mythic imagination, that you had this mythic imagination that was for all intents and purposes, completely alive. And that here you are, you know, fast forward how many years, 40 years, and you're in solitude and you've, you know, and that mythic imagination came back in a roaring way. And I, you know, there's a lot of data and research out there that says, number one, that people really ought to try a cyber Sabbath at least one day a week. And we all know that's getting to be more difficult. But I'm also thinking back to other conversations around a dead metaphor or static images, meaning we live in such we live in a very image-rich society, but the images are two-dimensional. They're placed by somebody else. You know, somebody buys the clip art on, you know, or takes it from Google Images, but we ourselves are not allowed to be the mythic imaginators that we once were when we were kids, when you knew something was going on with you know, with Alice.
Yes.
that got sat on. And so I know that you know we only have such a, you know, a short amount of time, so I want to make sure that we connect this idea of mythic imagination and this kind of whole inner landscape that you have really brought us forward to understanding, that this inner landscape is the rich tapestry in which we use for our own epic reinvention stories, but that in the process, there is no such thing as alone. We're all connected, and that when we take the ritual, in this case, you took 2 months of ritual and set aside, but I know that people can do it in different ways, but you found a way that it's like the living world rushed inside you and rushed inside your kind of your psychic, kind of mythic self, that I wonder, what was it like to be human 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, when people would only have a fire and a community come to talk around and talk about their dreams together. And I know this might connect to the ecstatic wisdom postures, and maybe we're going to have to leave some of it to our final break. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, that practice and how it connects to this mythic imagination?
Gladly. What happened during my 2 months of solitude was my praying in my own unique way, which is not on my bended knee necessarily at all, but
you weren't doing the Tipo. No,
asking for a spiritual practice that would not rob any other native tribe. I was steeped in all of the tribal traditions in Montana, where I lived, but I knew that I wasn't a Native American, and in their eyes, I was an interloper. And yet many of their practices, like the sweat lodge and the medicine wheel, totally speak to me. And so I was praying for some kind of spiritual tradition that would hold me without robbing anybody else. And within a month of leaving solitude time and going back home to Missoula, Montana, I discovered a book by Felicitas Goodman, which was the answer to that prayer. She called it Ecstatic Trance and Ritual Body Postures, which is a really huge mouthful. But her book so entranced me that I invited friends to my living room and we started experiencing it, and it answered everything that I could imagine for my mythic imagination and for guiding my relationship with the interconnected web of life. I can say much more after the break.
Yeah, great. Well, you know, and thank you for that. We will certainly talk more. But before we take that break, just one more time, how can listeners get in touch with you, learn more about you, your artwork, Ecstatic Wisdom Postures, your URL?
My URL is www.awakeningstorylines.com.
Great. Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. This is Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver.
tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Saskia Rowell came to America with 5 children and 1 suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to YourSoulGuidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is YourSoulGuidance.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, FogCityPsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio, where we are making sustainability epic. We are also talking to Deborah Milton, storyteller, artist, and eco-psychologist. And before we took our break, our last break, we had been talking about the role of kind of a mythic imagination, and you had been telling us the story about coming out of 2 months of silence or solitude, and that rather an ancient practice kind of found you. You were trying to find a practice that would really kind of help you till the soil for your own reinvention. And it was called ecstatic ritual postures. And I know this is something that you're starting to experiment with teaching people online.
Yes.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit more about this in our final moments?
Okay. I call the work the practice ecstatic wisdom postures, because I'm discovering that ecstasy and wisdom go hand in hand, and that we cannot be wise or ecstatic and be ego-driven. Our ego, for me anyway, is a wonderful partner. I need my ego. My ego helps me make decisions and is my side-by, my partner in living life. But it is not my controller anymore. And so I think this practice is a good medicine for our era, where we are being asked to look at our culture and think about how we want to move forward into the 21st century, knowing that the planet's support systems are at risk because there will soon be 7 billion people on our planet. and that we all need to really assess what makes life worth living and what is the role of money and material goods and what is spirit and what is the nature of reality. And for me, ecstatic wisdom postures provide answers to all sorts of questions like that. And it's based on our body's response to listening to rhythmic stimulation while holding a posture or a pose that's based on our ancestors' artwork. What could be more thrilling than that? To feel ourselves as modern people connecting with other humans as long ago as 35,000 years ago, for instance.
Wow. It's amazing. And I have, you know, I think about two things that come to mind. One is this idea of ecstasy and how ecstasy, just saying that word, again, it's another one of these wild words that people want to kind of shove down. It's scary. Might mean we have to talk about sexuality. God knows what it might mean.
Yeah.
So it's another kind of wild idea, you know, wild idea. But also, so when I think of that kind of ecstasy or ecstasy deprivation, and this idea of a posture, I'm trying to have a visualization in my mind. What, when you say posture, you mean what exactly?
It's similar to yoga, which is all about stretching. But you know how there are poses in yoga, like downward dog is a familiar enough name that many of your listeners may see that posture in their minds. A posture of the body can be something as simple as cupping your hands loosely and placing them over your belly button while standing up with your feet just normal hip width apart and your head cocked back a little bit. That particular posture has been found in artifacts in more than 70 sites all around our planet. The oldest one version of it is 6,000 years old, and it's still being carved on Northwest totem poles today. Wow. So it's a pose of the body that for some reason is really important to human beings, and we don't really know why. What we know is that if you hold that simple standing pose while listening to rhythm of drum and rattle, your body changes. You can read and watch a slideshow about ecstasy, wisdom, postures, and the ego on my blog site, which I've mentioned, awakeningstorylines.com. And there are some pictures there of these poses. And Jeff, does that help you understand what I mean by posture?
Absolutely. So in our final moments, this practice in some ways kind of found you. And when you first started doing it, how did it transform your life? We know that you're teaching this now, but what happened when you kind of emerged back into, quote, the urban world as a wild woman? And here you have this practice of ecstasy and postures, and it sounds scary and sexual, but it's not sexual. And, you know, what should people, you know, how can we kind of round out your story for the day?
Or it can be sexual in the sense of energy. It enlivens the energy in our bodies. Some people might call that Kundalini awakening. Some people might call it just the warmth of love. Some people call it creativity. It's about the energy in the body and that combination of holding that posture for only 15 minutes, too. For most of us who experience it and give it a try for several weeks, for instance, find that the imagery we see or the hormones of bliss that are released in that brief amount of time, that it affects our bone deep knowing. And so for me, it's animated me in a way nothing else has, and it's reliable. It's accessible.
And so it sounds like this has, so you started doing this in the living room of your home when you came back out of solitude, and this has been a real touchstone for you of your own ritual making in your, as you really dove into your epic reinvention story, or really the restorying or telling your story again of who you are, you know, that creation destruction process. But it sounds like this is deeply connected to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been doing it for just about 20 years now, and it animates my decisions, how I live, how easy it is for me to take risks in my life. It is a support in countless and nameless ways, and it's direct experience with your own source.
Yeah. And how does it connect you to the living world and the sustainability question of our era?
Well, remember early in this chat, I said something about wild to me means my body contributes to the body of the earth. Uh-huh. So ecstatic wisdom postures has shown me how the world is an animated world. It lives, it breathes, it responds to me. And I have experienced that in the visions that postures have provided.
So, in other words, there's an alive world that's watching back. It's just
it's in a very different
it's a different consciousness that you can really only become more sentient to or aware of through these kind of trance practices. But once it happens, you can't turn it off. Would you say that that's part of your experience, part of your rewilding?
Yes. Yes, it doesn't get turned off. I am aware all the time. And that also means that my brain has holed itself so that my right and left hemispheres are working in tandem. And that's part of softening the edges of ego as well, so that ego doesn't have to stress so much.
Wow.
Because life is out of our control in so many ways. Life does its thing. But when you know that you are in the flow of whatever it is, and that there is that support that's with you all the time in terms of your perspective, the choices you make in your head for how to respond to a catastrophe in your life, it makes a huge difference. We're not victims. I'm not a victim anymore.
Wow, great.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, right on.
Thank you.
Well, listen, it's been a great hour. Thank you for sharing all of you with all of our listeners. And I know we'll have you on again. And it's just been a real delight. So thank you. And I want to remind everyone that that your website is awakeningstorylines.com. Okay, great. So you've been listening to Gaialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Today we've had Dr. Deborah Milton on, sharing her story of epic reinvention. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio, and live broadcast on WBLQ on the East Coast. We will see you here next week, making sustainability epic. You've been listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Tune in each week, Monday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more transformative stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Gaialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Explore the questions that challenge us all by asking, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How does this influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? For more about Gaialogue Radio, visit www.gaialogue.com. That's gaialogue.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network.
And Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Guy Log Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guy Log Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guy Log Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Saskia Rowell came to America with 5 children and 1 suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to YourSoulGuidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is YourSoulGuidance.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.